and welcome to the Already Loved podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Carly G. Knipe, and today we are joined by an incredible leader, my co-laborer in CREW, which is the college ministry at my college, UCF, and one of my closest friends, Danny Hernandez.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to the pod, Danny. I'm so excited to have you here. Thanks for being on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I just wanted to start by publicly honoring Danny. We know each other from CREW. Obviously, we met in summer of 2022. One of my first impressions of Danny was that she is so cool and loves Jesus, which is literally so true. I remember, like, low-key being intimidated by you because you're so cool. And then, like, I don't know, like, you also just seem like, I could just tell how much you loved Jesus and how serious you were about your faith. And yeah.
Aww, I appreciate that. But that's so funny that you thought I was intimidating.
Yeah. And even as I've gotten to know you better, like, I've just seen that you are, like, so gentle at heart. You're kind. You're intentional. You ask such good questions. You're so obedient to the Lord, like, multiple missions and all the things that you've done for him, and even, like, wanting to do full-time ministry and doing full-time ministry soon. Yeah, I love that you're vulnerable. You're a strong leader. You are wise. You're a fighter for friends and for people. Like, you, like, stand in the gap for people. You're also very motherly. I don't know if that's, like, weird to say, but you are. Yeah, I could go on and on about how awesome you are. I love you, friend.
Thanks. That blessed me so much.
Yeah, of course. And yeah, also just, like, who she is to me. Like, you're a friend, you're a co-laborer since we both lead in CREW. And guys, fun fact, I got to photograph her engagement, which was so special to be there for.
Yeah,
I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. Honestly, there's no one I'd rather talk about this specific topic with, so I'm super excited. Speaking of which, y'all, if you haven't read the title, we are talking about sex. LOL. Okay, there's literally no way to say that good, but before we get into all that, obviously we always start with the song recommendation of the day. So, do you have any song recommendations for us?
Yes. There's a band called Beach Chapel on the coast of California, I think. And they have a song called Dropkick that's super funky, super fun, and also biblical. So,
I love that. I don't think I've ever heard of them. That's amazing. I love that. Well, yeah. Before we get into our topic, tell me a little bit about your walk with the Lord, like a little testimony.
Yeah, so I would say that I grew up going to church, but there's a lot of hard things growing up, and so definitely the Lord was my safe space. The Lord was who I cried to, who I ran to. I just always knew that he was there, but I specifically put my faith in Christ at a church camp up in Michigan, Camp Harvest, shout out, and that was honestly such an amazing time because I really encountered the Lord for myself rather than just going to church because my family did or anything like that. And even with these hardships that I faced too, that was really helpful to have a relationship with God in the midst of some special struggles, I guess, I would call them, throughout my junior high years, and some struggles with mental health and just different people in my life. And so having the Lord as my refuge and my strength really helped me a lot, even though I did, you know, go back and forth on the spectrum of, okay, now my emotions are leading me. Okay, now the Lord's leading me, you know, the flesh be like that.
Yeah, for real.
So, yeah, and then coming to college, definitely being able to glorify God through CREW. I always tell people that CREW is like the vehicle that I've used to glorify God in college. And so that's been amazing, going on mission trips and just really learning what obedience looks like, being discipling other girls, and so my passion is really just for women, and so yeah, I'm really excited to step into that as a full-time gig.
Yes, I'm so excited for you, friend. That's gonna be so good. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. We are gonna pray in real quick, so I'll go ahead and pray us in. Dear Lord, we love you so much, and God, I just thank you that Danny is here. I thank you for every person listening to this episode right now. And Lord, I pray that every person who can hear the sound of my voice would just be filled with your spirit, Lord, that you would just meet them wherever they are, in their car, in their room, in the middle of procrastinating homework, Lord, whatever it is, on their way to work. I pray that you would just encounter them today. Lord, I thank you that you're the God of grace and that we are going to encounter that grace today in a new way. We love you so much, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So, guys, the whole heart behind this entire episode, obviously, is not only that I have been wanting to do something like this for a long time, but always was like, this is a big topic. This is like, you know, there's a lot going on, but I thought Valentine's Day, why not talk about love on Valentine's Day? And Danny and I recently spoke at a women's event and crew together, and we basically shared this message that we're about to share again, but it was really put on my heart to immortalize this message and just put it in a shareable format for you all, just to be on the internet forever. Yeah, we don't have all the answers, so we're not going to sit here and claim that we are professionals in this area. And this isn't even going to be an all-encompassing conversation. Like, I don't think we're going to hit every topic or every, like, specific nuance of this topic, but we just wanted to start the conversation.
Yes. The Crew Women's event was really life-changing, honestly, to just be able to share about the truth and just share how the truth sets us free and literally witness that in a large room with about 100 girls. And so I'm so excited to be able to share this with you guys. So thank you for being willing to be teachable and just playing this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, even the fact that y'all are here, I know that's not a coincidence. And yeah, I'm super excited. It was such a powerful night. Like,
definitely.
Y'all, I wish you could have been there. If you were there, then you know. It was literally powerful. Like, we had salvations and, like, freedom and healing and so many things. So it was super cool. Also wanted to warn you guys that we are recording in my house and I have roommates. So if you're hearing noise in the background, just know this is a house. And, you know, honestly, it's kind of like we're all in my room together. It's, you know, just we're just going to be in it together. This is college student life. Before we get started, we just wanted to preface by saying that you are loved. Like, your identity is in Christ. If you've given your life to him, then you are secure. You are found in him. Nothing that you do can change his love for you. So everything that we say on this episode isn't going to be from condemnation, but it's going to be from a place of love. Like, think of us as your sisters. We are in this with you. We love you. This is a safe space, a judgment-free zone, and you are loved exactly where you are. Also, as we talk about sexual sin, I also wanted to address that we are not talking about sexual assault or abuse. Like, when we say sexual sin, that does not equate to sexual assault or abuse. If you have been hurt in this way, that was not sin. That was someone else's sin. And that is a grave injustice that God grieves, and God wants you to be free from that. He wants you to be free from someone else's sin, and that was not your fault. You are covered in grace. All of us are covered in grace. And we just wanted to address that because we know that this topic can kind of stir up some hurt, stir up some pain from the past. But I just wanted to say that. And we know that can feel really impersonal when a pastor or a leader talks about sexual sin but has never walked through it personally. So we wanted to share a little bit of our stories just to tell you that you are not alone in this area.
Yeah, so I would say my story kind of began just as young as you can picture, just really growing up in a Hispanic household. I'm Mexican and Italian, and so both cultures really kind of glorify putting your body on display, and that's not a bash at all. Like, that's just how what was normal growing up. So I along with that, I would say, came the desire for dressing for male attention, and the best words that I could put to this desire was just the desire to be desired. I don't know if that makes sense to everybody, but it's just really desiring that you would be desirable. So I didn't even realize, but everything was filtered through this lens of, you know, how do my boobs look? How does my butt look? Am I posing right? You know, do I look desirable? Am I desirable? And it wasn't until even college, just fast forwarding a little bit, that I really understood, okay, my body was bought with a price. And so every time that I walk into my closet, I asked the Lord and I said, okay, God, how can I glorify you today? And how can what I wear glorify you today? And that totally changed my desire for what I wanted to wear, my style, everything. And I didn't dress homely or ugly or anything. I still had some style, but I just didn't have specific body parts in mind to show off or be prideful of. And so, not to say that you need to do that, but just that was something that really untangled that really just rooted sin in my life. I would say too, I didn't even realize that before anything physical happened, I was already in sexual sin because I was already craving the need for another man or someone to really just affirm me or find validation in them. So I would say that sexual sin, the physical part did come in when I got my first boyfriend, and, you know, no one really told me what to do. Just church, yeah. You know, cracked two eggs and said, here you go, don't do sex because this is what it looks like. You know, you can't separate the yolks. And yeah, definitely did not have someone walking alongside me in that. And so that was really hard. That sexual sin felt very transactional and pressured, and just really I played married with that guy. And so it just really was heartbreaking when a leader sat down with me on one of my missions and she shared what was in God's will for relationships. And so that really changed the trajectory of my life. And so this is like, it wasn't something that I wanted to hear, but it was something that I needed to hear.
Yeah.
And then the Lord told me to break up with that guy. And so like, this is not to say that break up with all your boyfriends and all these things, but just like, this is us sitting down with you.
Mm.
And this is loving because it's the truth with the picture of who God is and its grace. And also saying that, it doesn't mean that, you know, everything was hunky-dory after hearing that truth, but there took a lot of God's truth just really unraveling a lot of my own pride and a lot of my own previous thinking, because it was so confirmed by culture that I was in, the girlfriends I had around, all these things. But yeah, so even now, sometimes, like in my relationship now with my fiance, like we had struggled for some past seasons for different reasons, but now we are in repentance. And so just hear us when we say too, like just because you find a godly man doesn't mean that you're never going to walk in sexual sin before if you have that past. And so just to understand that he is the God of all grace, and now me and my fiance are walking in repentance, and it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that. I 100% agree that hard conversations are never easy, and I'm sure that leader was, like, nervous about, like, I'm gonna tell Danny something and it might hurt her, but she literally had your best interests at heart. And I think that's the heart of the Father for us, is that sometimes things that, like, sometimes when we hear the truth hurts, because we're, like, if we're not living in the truth, like, if we're living in sin or we're living in a lie, then hearing the truth, like, kind of, like, snaps us out of that in, like, a harsh way, it feels like sometimes. When really, like, the heart of the Father is, like, doing that because he loves you and because he knows what's best for you and he knows what is going to lead to your ultimate freedom. And so, yeah, I love that your leader did that with you. And that is our heart for all of y'all, too.
Can I say something else, too?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just really was remembering, too, just what that process looked like right after my leader had shared with me the truth. I was feeling kind of weird because I had never heard of these boundaries or, you know, what God's will was for relationships. And so then I remember I was going through the book of Acts and chapter 18, I think it was chapter 18. It was talking about how this guy named Apollos was like sharing an incomplete version of the gospel, and Priscilla and Aquila, they took him and they were like, hey, here's the part that you were missing. And they were like, go, like, now go. And so it was really cool because the Lord spoke really loudly to me through that of like, you didn't know this before, but now you know, and so go and continue to tell others about this. So it was very gracious, it was very gentle. I really feel like God's truth definitely gave me just such a new picture of who God was, to deal with something that I thought was so dirty and felt so guilty about, and then to just love me so well through it and help me with that realization.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. It doesn't just end with someone talking to you. It ends with us, with Jesus, you know, at the end of our lives, but it ends with, it's going to be a process. Yeah, I love that so much. And I agree too that like, something that someone had said even at the women's night that we preached at was, sin doesn't just go away when you're saved, you know, like, and so I love what you're talking about. It's like, it's a process. That's something we'll talk about a little bit more later as well. Yeah, I also wanted to share a little bit about my personal testimony with sexual sin. This is my first time sharing this on the podcast, so y'all are hearing it for the first time, unless you are one of my friends and you've heard it before. But yeah, I wanted to share. I grew up, obviously, being the only Asian girl, really, in a predominantly white neighborhood and family. And so I grew up thinking that white, blonde, and blue eyes was the only attractive thing. So I struggled a lot with body image and kind of what you were talking about with the desire to be desired. And I was exposed to pornography when I was 12 years old. And I actually was living in cycles of sin and became addicted until my sophomore year of high school. It was, you know, it wasn't always like every night, but it would go into cycles of like monthly or weekly, or anytime I got stressed, like that's kind of what it looked like. And obviously, I think with pornography also comes masturbation, and there was just a lot of sexual, like, just, like, a lot of brokenness. In early high school, I deeply desired to be loved, and now, for the first time, guys actually wanted to date me, and whereas in middle school, that wasn't really the case. And so I pretty much just kind of went with any guy who would give me attention. I found myself emotionally hopping from guy to guy. I had many relationships full of sexual sin, going too far, in quotes, that wasn't technically sex, like all the things, all the hoops that I jumped through. And yeah, there was just a lot of brokenness out of my own desire to be desired. And I look back at that time and I just see a girl who really wanted to be loved and didn't actually believe that God loved me the way that he says he does. And yeah, so it wasn't even actually until hearing and receiving the following truths that we're about to talk about that I finally walked in freedom from sexual sin. I remember at 14, at a worship night, my leader had us all, like, write down on pieces of paper, like, all the sin that we were struggling with, and then we, like, ripped it up and, like, praised God. And that was, like, and that's, once again, that's not, like, the end of it, but that was the start of it. Like, I didn't realize that there was a way to be out of this. Like, I didn't think that there was another side of freedom. Like, I literally thought I was, like, gonna struggle with this my whole life. Even married, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I guess it's like, I guess I just have to wait till marriage or wait till death, you know, like, in order to never struggle with this again. But yeah, and so I know it can seem like talking about it will trap you, but actually talking about it will free you. So when we talk about this, we aren't coming from some high and mighty place, like looking down on you from above, like we've arrived somewhere that you're not, like, no, we are talking about this with you and alongside you. Like, we are in this together.
Yeah, you're so right, Carly. That's so good. And honestly, we haven't figured it out. We've both walked through this and are walking through this. We're not perfect. That's where we're coming from.
Yeah. So where does sexual sin actually even originate? Where does sin originate? Well, the root of all sin starts from questioning God's character. So this isn't a new concept. This is actually from the very beginning. In Genesis 3:1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" So this is with Adam and Eve. This is in the Garden of Eden. And this is Satan who approached Eve. And this all started with the question, "Did God really say?" It all started with questioning God's character and also twisting his words. Like, God didn't actually even say to not eat from any tree in the garden. He really only said, "Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." But Satan twists his words and manipulates it for his own agenda by saying, like, "Did God really say you must not eat of any tree in the garden?" Like, making us question God's goodness. And I think that's why we tend to go outside of his will and go in our own way, because we don't trust his character or see him as a loving father. Like, did God really say you can't ever have sex? Like, is God withholding something good from you? All of those questions are, like, twisting God's character. Satan is our enemy. He exists to steal, kill, and destroy everything good and everything that God has designed. This battle is very real. This battle is not against flesh and blood. This is not just happening in this world, but it is against the rulers, the authorities, the principalities, the powers of this dark world. That's in Ephesians 6:12. That's the root of all sin. Now, we are going to talk about a couple of lies about sex and go over some truths.
So, lie number one is sex is bad or sex isn't a big deal. And I know that some of us find ourselves on two opposite ends of the spectrum, but both of them are lies from the enemy. I know for me, growing up, I thought sex isn't that big of a deal, honestly. And I know some people who grew up in other circumstances where sex was just entirely bad. So there are so many misconceptions on display for sex, and they permeate our world. They're in everything that we take in, I guess, through our culture. And so it really is our culture and the enemy who has distorted the image of sex.
Yeah, when I think about, like, how has our world portrayed sex, like, how has sex been distorted, I think about shows, sexually explicit books, movies, Hollywood. There's so many, like, honestly, countless ways that the world has twisted and the enemy has twisted sex.
That's good. I feel like it's good to talk about that it's really the enemy. Like, you just read that verse that says that this isn't a battle against flesh and blood. And so it's not just the culture. It's the enemy behind all of this. And so even, too, we want to address that Christian culture has also distorted sex. So Christians are still people and people aren't perfect. So sometimes when Christians try to address sexual sin, they actually end up being more hurtful than helpful. And so if you've been hurt or condemned by a church or Christians in this particular area, we're so sorry that they misrepresented Jesus to you. Jesus is so much kinder. He's full of grace and he loves you more than you could ever know.
Yeah, absolutely. Both of us have been on both ends of these spectrums. That's where we're coming from. That was the lie about sex. So now, this is the truth. The truth is, sex is good. God created sex. It says in Genesis 2:24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So, Dani, what would you say is the definition of biblical marriage?
Good question. Really putting my premarital counseling knowledge to work.
Yes, putting you to the test.
Yeah. I would say that biblical marriage is a lifelong commitment or a covenant with God and your spouse, vowing to love them like Christ loves the church. It's not just a piece of paper. It's not just a formality. And so sex is something that is designed to be within this context that's a covenant. And so it's his design. It's to even reflect the Trinity, the relationship, the oneness that he has with himself, that he is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's such a form of intimacy that really reflects our intimacy with God.
That's so good. Yeah, and I even think that begs the question, like, well, if sex is so good, then why does God not want us to have it until marriage? I know this question that I've asked all the time, like, God, you created this and this is beautiful, but like, why can't I like have a piece of this pie, you know? But really, it's because it's sacred and it reflects him. And honestly, true freedom is within the bounds of what God defined. Mm. I think about this analogy that we mentioned during our message last week, that fire is good and even beautiful within the context that it was created for, like in a fireplace or in a fire pit or a candle from TJ Maxx or Bath & Body Works, you know. Fire is beautiful where it's designed to be, but if fire sparks in a forest, it's complete destruction. So it's the same way, like, sex outside of the context of marriage is destructive outside of the context that it was meant for.
That's so good. That is the hard pill to swallow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so even too, along with this, sex within the context of biblical marriage is safest within the bounds of marriage. That covenant is so secure. Your husband's not going to ghost you. He's not going to leave you on red. Mm-hmm. He has that responsibility aligned with that privilege. You might be thinking too, okay, but what does that even mean for me? I don't even know when I'm going to be married or all these things. And that's where trust comes in, that God's not going to withhold his goodness from you. And so if you can't have it right now, then it's not his best for you right now. We've even heard the quote, if he has the privilege of loving your naked body, he should have the responsibility of loving your naked soul. And that's only for marriage.
So good.
And another question too that could come up is, if sex is so good, then what even is sexual sin? What is lust? How did this become distorted? So we just wanted to clarify this, because I've been in church and I've been like, I don't know what that actually means. I need a definition. So yeah. This is us just trying to clarify and just remove any sort of confusion, because God's not a God of confusion. So we don't want to be confusing.
Yeah, so good.
So when we say sexual sin or sexual immorality, we mean any act that is outside of God's biblical definition of sex. And this isn't just sex before marriage, like some people say. It could also be pornography. It could be reading books with explicit sexual scenes. It could be acting upon same-sex attraction. It could be trying to go around how to not have sex with your boyfriend but still feel pleasure. It could be lustful thoughts. And so we just also do want to describe and define what lust is as well. So lust is defined as a strong craving or desire, often of a sexual nature, for anything outside of God's will. And so I would give this example of, it's not lust for a wife to long for her husband sexually, but it is lust for me to long sexually for my fiance or porn or erotic books, because this is outside of what God designed. So we just wanted to clarify this because God is not a God of confusion. And so we don't want to be confusing when we're dealing with really heavy things like this.
Yeah, so good. We just want to clarify. Love that. Yeah, that brings us into our next lie, which is lie number 2, that sexual sin is a man's problem. Only men struggle with it. y'all, this can be so isolating for women. This is such a lie. And I think that we can all agree that if you've been in a Christian circle for 2 seconds, that it has been presented that it's just a man's struggle. And even I think in like Hollywood or even in the world, it's like, oh, this is like men are the sexual ones. I know that's how it was presented to me. I don't know if that's everyone's experience, but I know that was what it was for me. And so as a woman, I felt weird for struggling with sexual sin. Like, I felt like I was the weird one. When actually the truth is we were all created for intimacy. So both men and women have sexual desires, and therefore both of them can struggle with it. No one gender more than the other. I did some research on this, y'all. A Christianette poll reported by MarketWire.com reveals that 60% of Christian women have significant struggles with lust. And you just heard our stories about us being women and struggling with misplaced sexual desires. So you know that you are not alone. I'm sure there are so many more people who can also relate to this. Like, so many people who are going to be listening to this episode. We are sexual beings. God designed us this way. He made us like this. Like, he designed us for intimacy. In Genesis 2:18, it says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" This verse just shows us that we were created for intimacy. We were created for connection and deep relationships. And that's even something that we've been talking about, like you and I. And I think that's something that we need to talk about more in Christian circles. The desire to be desired is literally hardwired into us. Like, I think about biologically, like when there were hunter-gatherers, if you weren't like having sex and having babies, you weren't like, your family line would die. And so there was like almost like there was actually a survival mindset in order to want to be desired. It wasn't just emotional, but it also is very emotional as well. Like, I think a lot of girls, and I know that myself too, like struggle with like just the desire to be liked by the others around us. Like, there's so many social neurological things that happen in our brain when we connect with others that we were literally designed for. Mm. And so, yes, God created us for this, but it can quickly become sin when we seek it outside of his will. So I want to ask you, Danny, like, what do you think prevents us from walking in God's biblical design for sexuality? What prevents us from seeking him in it?
Mm. So glad that you asked. This is lie number 3. It's a huge lie.
Perfect segue.
Yeah. If I've sinned sexually, I'm too far gone for God. God won't want me. This is a lie straight from the pit of hell. The enemy wants you to believe this lie. He's the father of lies. So to get you isolated and believe God does not want anything to do with you is often how he works to get you away from God. As believers, we must recognize the voice of the enemy from the voice of God the Father. If it contradicts the word of God, then it is not God's voice. This is why the word of God is so important. Do not let the enemy tell you that God doesn't want you because you watched pornography this morning. The cross has the final word on this. If you have confessed this to the Lord, then it is forgiven. The word of God is the Christian's ultimate authority in our life. And so we need to know what it says in order to know if these thoughts are truth or if they're lies.
Yeah.
And so this entire podcast is even just backed up so much by scripture, because this is not just what Carly and Danny think. This is what the Lord this is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord believes. This is what the Lord designed.
Yeah.
And so it's so important that we trust him. And so this really just goes into the third truth. You're never too far gone for God, because we're all too far gone. And that's why Jesus had to come. And so we have all sinned. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 says. And so your sexual sin does not define who you are. And I'm going to say that again. Your sexual sin does not define who you are. If it is something that all of us have fallen short in, it is not something that is just unique to you, but is something that is detrimental to humanity and why we need God's forgiveness. And so this is why God loved us so much in our sin and sent Jesus. And so this is Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if you have trusted in Christ, then you are a new creation." This is one of my favorite verses when I first gave my life to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So don't let the enemy try and tell you, oh, you did that yesterday, and so you're going to do it again. And, you know, similar to Carly's story of you're going to struggle with this until, you know, marriage or when you die. Like, no, you are a new creation who has access to the Father.
That's such a good verse. I actually recently went to a conference and I heard that being a new creation means that the version that you are now has never existed before. And that, like, totally shook me because I was just like, whoa. It's in my head, I'm thinking, like, yep, there was Carly 1.0 and now I'm Carly 2.0. And it's like, no, you, like, your name changes. Like, you change. Like, you're not just like a revamped version of your old self. You're literally a new creation who has never existed before. And that just shook me. And so it honestly, like, empowers you to walk in freedom because you're like, the version I am right now has not struggled with this sin. You know what I mean? Like, that's not who she is, like, because of what the Lord has said. And that brings us into even the concept of justification. This is a big church word. I think we throw it around a lot, but don't often know the definition of it. Justification happens immediately upon salvation. So once you give your life to Christ, you are justified. And justification means, like, if I'm standing in a room and God is 5 feet away from me looking at me, and Jesus, well, justification is Jesus coming into that room and standing right in front of me. And so when God is looking at me, he sees Jesus. He sees me through the lens of Jesus. He's not looking at my sin. He's not looking at my shame, all the things I've done wrong. He literally just sees Jesus on the cross because Jesus was didn't it say he was literally like our advocate? Like, he was the gap. He was the bridge between us and God. And so, yeah, he does not see our righteousness, which is very failing, but he sees Jesus' righteousness.
That's so good. And that truth just set someone free right now. Yes. I know that has set me free. Not only are you a new creation and you are justified, but you also have no condemnation. And so Romans 8, 1 through 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And so if you are understanding, maybe there's a struggle in your life or an addiction and you're experiencing shame, that is not from God. That is not from God. I want you to hear that again. That is not from God.
Period.
He is a God of no condemnation. In John 8, when the woman who is caught in adultery is, you know, about to be stoned and all of the religious leaders are like, you know, cast the stone. And Jesus, like, goes down and he writes in the sand something that we don't even know. And he says, no, I will not condemn this woman. Go and sin no more. And so this too, it's the same for you. It's the same for me, even in my story, when I didn't know that the boundaries that I had weren't within God's will. God didn't tell me, okay, now, you know, shame upon shame upon shame. He said, there's no condemnation. So now go and sin no more. And so just know too, that it's never too late to go back to him. It is never too late to go back to him. He is always right there and willing to bridge that gap for you because he already did that through Jesus. So yeah,
that's so good, Danny. I'm literally like about to cry. I'm like, oh, so good. Yes, he's such a God of redemption. And I think also I wanted to touch on, like, it a lot of times after a broken relationship or even after a relationship with sexual sin or anything like that, we kind of search for, like, the redemption, like, the guy who, like, is just gonna redeem it all in a new, like, we kind of search for that redemption in, like, a new man or a new relationship, but we just want to tell you that Jesus is that redemption. He is already the perfect relationship, and that doesn't mean that you can never have a relationship again. I think, like, there can be such beauty in, like, having a healthy relationship after that fact, but, yeah, there is really a Jesus-sized hole that only he can fill in our hearts. Yeah, so now we know some lies and some truths, God's definition of marriage and sex. We've debunked some of the lies. We've recognized that we're never too far gone for God. So I wanted to ask you, Danny, what do you think this looks like now? Like, what would you say are some next steps for people?
Yeah, I do just want to address too that it's not going to be our words that save or change you. It can only be God himself and his loving voice. I know that my leader, Mel, who brought this truth to me, it wasn't her who changed me, it was the God of all grace who changed me. And so it can be easy to hear what we just said and be really passive about it, but it really does say in Matthew 7:24 that everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. So I just want every single one of us to have an action step so that we all know what our next step is. It's his loving kindness also that leads us to repentance. It says it in his word. So if you feel anything other than loving kindness right now, that is not from him. And so I would say that these next steps, I would break them down into three, maybe. That number one, if you've never given your life to Christ, we just want to make that opportunity. And so if you're feeling a stirring to know this God of grace, I just want to pray this prayer. And this prayer doesn't save you, but it gives you an opportunity to pray this to God. Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving me eternal life. Take control of the throne of my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name. And so we're just rejoicing because even at the crew meeting that we shared this message at, someone did receive Christ. And so we just never want to skip past that or neglect that.
Yeah.
Because wherever you are at right now, God wants you and God sees you.
Yeah. So if you prayed that prayer, we are so happy for you. We're sisters now. We're siblings in Christ. Welcome to the family. Yeah. And I really want to encourage you guys to tell someone about it. Like if you prayed that prayer, you can DM me on Instagram, or you can tell like a leader in your local church or in your local ministry or a parent or a friend. Like, tell someone about it. This is like the most exciting thing that could possibly happen. And this whole message wouldn't even happen if none of us had learned justification or been, had the opportunity to give our lives to Christ.
That's so good. Yeah, she's right. It literally says in scripture that all of heaven is rejoicing. And so we are so, so joyful with you. And now we're going to address the second group of people. If you feel the need to confess, if something was stirred in you tonight, maybe it's a sin that's been hidden, an addiction, shame, we just want to encourage you to bring it to the light with someone. Is there someone who you feel safe with that you can share this with? Whether that's a pastor or a mentor, a leader in your local church, a friend, just share with someone this week what you learned and share with them, confess to them. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And James 5:17 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you will be healed, for the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. And so I really do just want to acknowledge too that sometimes my heart kind of feels like it's on fire and I feel like the Lord's convicting me and someone tells me an action step and I'm like, I don't know about that. I would personally recommend reading through those two verses that we spoke about, just read for yourself and seeing what the Lord tells you to do, because this is not something that just gets fixed because, you know, you told someone, but it is something that he commands us to do, is to confess. And so it's walking in obedience when we respond rightly to what God is saying.
Yeah. And I will say, I feel like there's literally something that happens in the spirit when we confess to someone else and we like stand in agreement with them in prayer, because like there's been times that like I'll make a decision on my own, like, okay, like even when I was like in the midst of my struggle with porn, I'd be like, okay, that was the last time. Like that was the last time. And that only goes so far. Like seriously, that only goes so far. And I would even pray, like I would pray, I would have like a whole moment with the Lord even. But even though that's beautiful and the Lord recognizes that, and that obviously like did something for my heart, it just hits different to confess it to someone. Like seriously, confessing it is bringing it to the light, and it almost like builds in accountability as well. Something also happens in the spirit when you confess. Like when you confess to someone, no longer is it just a personal struggle, but now like doesn't it say in the word that we bear our, like we bear each other's burdens? Yeah. Like that doesn't mean that they're suddenly like becoming like, that doesn't mean they take on the burdens of your life, but it literally just means like now they know and they're able to bear that with you and say like, hey, how has your struggle been? Like, how have you been with that? Wanted to check in. I'm praying for you. Yeah, there's something so powerful about standing in agreement with another believer about your sin, but then also about your freedom.
That's so good. I know in my life, it's literally checked me so hard, such a heart check, when I literally have to confess to someone else and say these words out loud. And so it's changed my life for the better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So don't be afraid to bring it to the light. Like you've heard Carly and I say, it's literally changed our lives and it's what God commands. And so if it's what God commands, then it's for our best. It's for our good, even if it feels uncomfortable, even if it feels hard. And this is all because God wants you to be free.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, too, like, use wisdom with who you're telling to. Like, you know in your head who you probably should and shouldn't be telling stuff to. Like, it's not just about trustworthiness and, like, are they going to tell other people? But also trustworthiness of, like, do I believe that they hear the voice of God? And could they hear the voice of God for me? Like, is their walk with the Lord one that I want as well? Like, do I want, like, would I, like, I don't know, like, would I want them to know this fact about me? Not like, yeah, it's not just about their trustworthiness as a friend, but also their trustworthiness with the Lord. Yeah, so use wisdom and discernment in who you're telling. Obviously, we're not telling you to shout it from the rooftops, especially if you're in the middle of the worst part of the struggle, but definitely telling someone helps a lot.
Yeah, and both Carly and I were at Passion Conference, what was that, like 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Where Jeannie Allen, I think, or Jenny Allen.
I think it's like, Jenny.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jenny.
love you, queen.
Jenny Allen did a whole message about confession, and so she even implemented a time where she said, go to someone who you don't know right now and just pray and confess to one another. And so she was like, I know that this can be really intimidating. I know this could be really hard. And so I'm going to give you the words to say when someone confesses to you. And so she said to meet them with grace, of course, but to also just say, there is therefore now no condemnation. And then really just implement that there's no condemnation.
Yeah.
And so it's not to say like, oh, like you went too far with your boyfriend. Oh man, you know, it's not to react that way. It's to say, okay, now there, thank you for telling me, there is therefore now no condemnation.
Yeah. That's really the only response. That's mm-hmm. God's only response to sin. Mm-hmm. Not only, but like he literally is just like, there's no condemnation. Mm-hmm. Like what my son did on the cross is enough, and yeah, his blood covers good. You. Yeah, absolutely. So even like too, if someone is confessing something to you, it can be easy to let our flesh lead us in our response and be like, so like, whoa, that's crazy. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, just honestly like meet them with grace, and literally it's so simple. Just say there's no condemnation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also I want to say like, there's probably more next steps within this that we're not even mentioning, but honestly, I would encourage you guys to ask the Lord for yourself. Like, what is my next step in this? Like, I just heard this. My heart has been like, you know, like, Lord, I can feel you tugging on my heart in this. Like, what is my next step? Ultimately, he knows your next step. But another kind of third group of people, third next step that we are addressing is maybe you're someone who has confessed already. You know the truth, but you've continued to struggle. Honestly, so real. I've been there. That's like the boat that I was in for literally years. And I think confession isn't a one and done thing. It's a constant movement towards freedom. Danny even said, like, this kind of stuff doesn't just go away the moment you're saved, but we're constantly being sanctified into the image of Jesus until we die. And sanctification is the process of becoming holy. And yeah, like I said, that literally takes our entire lives until heaven. And so if you are in that space where you've confessed, you know the truth, but you continue to struggle, just sit in the space to know that you are deeply loved, even in the moment of your sin. Learn to sit in his love. I think for those people like who are in that space sometimes too, what really helps is an action step. Like, I want to give you language for that action step. Like, if you are currently in the midst of a struggle that you know the truth and you've confessed about, but you are still struggling with, a practical thing is literally just saying, Lord, I invite you into my struggle with blank. Like, if you have a journal, write that down. If you like, if you're like in your Bible, like literally write that down and just put in what you're struggling with. Like, say it explicitly. That was something that absolutely transformed my life. If you listened to the last podcast episode about simplicity, purity, humility, that was one of the biggest things, was I got real about my time with the Lord and I got real about my sin. And I actually invited Jesus into my struggle with sexual sin and just with any sin in general. A revelation that the Lord gave me a long time ago about this is when it comes to sin, it's not about elimination. It's about invitation. So that means it's not about eliminating sin, because that's just a behavioral fix. That's no longer like a actual heart transformation. That's just fixing your behavior. Anyone can do that. But it's about invitation. And it's in inviting the Lord into that, and maybe even inviting an accountability partner, inviting a person, a safe person into that. Like, it's in that invitation that true freedom actually happens. You're no longer just doing behavioral fixes, like surface level fixes, but you're actually having a real change and transformation in your heart. You're actually being renewed by the Holy Spirit in your mind. So I want to ask you, Danny, what do you think repentance actually looks like? What would you define it as? What's a practical step that you can take when it comes to repentance?
Yeah, that's so good. You can't see me right now, but I'm literally doing the hand motions. yes. Repentance is literally turning from sin. And so whatever you have to do to turn from that sin, it really is his loving kindness that leads us to repentance. It says it in his word. It's something that I even love to do. And I would recommend this, just like Carly was saying about needing a practical next step, to literally ask the Lord and say, now, what does repentance look like? Because if you've confessed it, now what's your next step? It's repentance. So that thing is twofold. You have grieved that sin. You've confessed it to someone. You have acknowledged that you've fallen short of the glory of God. And then now moving towards forgiveness, putting on that identity of, okay, I'm forgiven now. And so what does this look like? And so really the Lord, he's honestly, man, the Lord has humbled me so many times. There was a time when I went past some boundaries and I asked the Lord, what does repentance look like? And he brought me back to 1 Peter, I kind of forgot the words, but it literally just says, like, now do not fall back into your former ignorance, so be holy, for I am holy. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, that was a heart check, because it literally was the Lord bringing back to mind that verse. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings back the word of God to your mind. And it was so beautiful. And it genuinely was his loving kindness. Like, I can say on the other side that when you confess and when you ask God what repentance looks like, you can confidently say that I've experienced the loving kindness of the Lord. And so we've even heard too that repentance isn't when you cry, it's when you change. And crying can be a part of that process, but it's not where it ends.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not just, I'm so sad that I crossed boundaries with my boyfriend. It's, now we're not going to kiss. Now we're not going to fill in the blank. Now we're not going to, you know, be on the couch late at night. Whatever it is, it's really explicitly saying it. And it's not like you're standing before God as a judge and you're saying, I vow to never do this anymore.
Yeah, it's not about vowing and, like, making promises that you can't keep. Like, yeah. That's not what it's about.
Yeah. And even to even put more words to this, our pastor even says, it's not about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation.
Yeah.
And so if you're feeling like, okay, well, now I need a vow that I'll never watch pornography ever again. Like, you know, don't lose the relationship in this. Don't lose the invitation, like Carly was saying. Because when you lose that, when you lose the relationship with Jesus and see him as the God of all grace, that's when legalism comes in, which is doing things without God.
Yeah. And legalism is literally what, like, Jesus came to break off of us. Like, he came to break off the religious spirit that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had had. Like, and I think, like, we can start to fall into that, and the enemy will even convince us that that's what's holy. But genuinely, like, yeah, holiness isn't just about your behavior. That's literally, like, something that we've been talking about. So before we wrap up, I just wanted to ask you, Dani, is there anything else that you wanted to add?
Thanks for asking that. That's so thoughtful. Yeah, I think just to really drive this home, a scripture that's really coming to mind is 1 Peter 5:10. It's 1 Peter, man. Keeps me going. It's, I know, so, right? Good.
So good.
It says that after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And I don't know what kind of struggle that you're going through today. Maybe it's addiction to pornography. Maybe it's having trouble with your boundaries with your boyfriend. Whatever it is, maybe it's not even that. Maybe it's just masturbation in general, and it's really hard to break free. I just want you to know that there is nothing that the God of all grace won't forgive. And he even promises to restore you, to confirm you, to strengthen you, and to establish you, for you are his. And so we love you guys, and we just really wanted to share this.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dani. That is so good. As always, we wrap up in prayer. So, Dani, would you like to pray us out?
I would love to. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much that you are the God of all grace, that you sent your son to take our place, that you filled the gap, God, that was between us and you with your son, Jesus. Sometimes we don't remember how crazy that is, God, that you would do such a loving thing. And so I pray, God, for all of the girls listening, all of the women, Father, that whatever that they've gone through, whether it was abuse or whether it's sexual sin, whatever it is, God, that you would just meet them in it, that they would learn to invite you into it, that they would come to understand that you are gentle and lowly in heart, that there is nothing that you can't do in their life, that this sin isn't the end of it, God, that you say that you came to give us life. And not only life, but life abundantly. And so I pray, God, that just your abundant life would fill each of the people listening, and that you would take priority in their lives, that nothing in this podcast would condemn or just be something that can be misconstrued or misinterpreted. But I pray, Father, that your truth would just be clear. Your truth would just set people free. Your truth would just be the ground that we stand on. So we love you, Lord, and we thank you, Father, that you justify, you purify us, that we are justified and purified before you. So thank you, Father. We dance in that joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Dani, for being here.
Thank you for having me. This was so nerve-wracking.
So good and so fun. Yeah, and thank you guys all for listening. As always, you can keep up with me on Instagram at @ArtieLovePodcast or at @KGNipe on my personal, or if you're in Orlando and you need photos done, I also do photography at Carly Grace Photo. LOL. There's all 700 million of my Instagram accounts. But yeah, and if this podcast encouraged you at all, please, please share it with a friend. And maybe even also, like, want to challenge y'all, if you are someone who needs to confess, share this podcast with that person that you're confessing to and then confess. Like, I feel like that's such a good, like, segue of like, hey, I just listened to this podcast. It was really, like, good and really wise. And also, I wanted to confess this to you. You know what I mean? Like, it's a, we're giving you guys an out, basically. We're giving you guys a little segue for it. Just kidding. But yeah. So thank you guys so much for listening. And I hope you all have a great Valentine's Day. Know that Jesus loves you more than any other person can. We love you so much. Have a good one. Bye.